Skyview Baptist Church. We're having a graduation ceremony today. So let's get started with some singing real quick. Some singing. No, that's not right. We're supposed to be welcomed by the pastor. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of order. Okay, then we're going to start singing. Song number one. Go ahead with song number one, My Savior's Love, 1, 4, and 5, verses 1, 4, and 5. And let's start off with happiness and singing on that first verse.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, dying clean.
Microphone. There we go. Wonderful. And I want to welcome you to Skyview Baptist Church. Tonight we're having our graduation celebration. And we're excited about that. And in just a moment we have two of our young people who are going to be we're celebrating the graduation for. One from Skyview Baptist Academy, and that'll be Matthew Myers. And then the other one is homeschooled, one of our homeschoolers, Zach Walway. And we're looking forward to celebrating their graduation together. And so we want you to know we appreciate you joining the service. And to let you know it's going to come up in just a moment, I will introduce them and they'll come forward and sit down. And when I preach the message, it'll be a short message, believe it or not, because they've got some speeches to give and you'd rather hear that than me. And so would I. So the message will be a short message to them and an admonition as they graduate. And we're looking forward to them. And then they'll receive their certificates and we'll present them for graduation. So at this time, let me introduce our graduates, ladies and gentlemen, the graduating class of 2020.
Song, one more song, 224, verses 1, 2, and 3, 224, heaven came down, first, second, and last. Darkness always, Jesus the
for leading in that. This time, just a reminder for the folks, we have our offerings in the offering plates in the back of the auditorium. And if you make sure to take care of that on the way in or out, then they'll be hiding, not hiding, they'll be in plain sight back there. And we'll have a quick prayer for the offering. And for those who don't know, I bring an offering plate up. And you're going to help with the special? That's pretty awesome. And I bring the offering plate up, and I go through the normal thing we've done in the past, but we don't pass the offering plate around, and we take care of that at the end of the service. So let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless the offering. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. Lord, offering isn't about the needs of the church. The offering is about obedience to you. Help us to be a people who are obedient with things you've entrusted us with. Bless us, Father. We need your blessings. That's all we need. We need you. Please help us to please you. Bless both the gift and the giver. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. That's called our Filipiano duet, and that was awesome. Abby, you did a good job of teaching Rachel how to do that, and that was wonderful. It's just time to introduce our speakers, and I'll talk a little more about them when they during the service. I'll be gossiping about hey, social distancing. Yeah. And I'll talk a little more about them when I preach. Our first one, representing Skyview Baptist Academy, in just a moment, he's worked very hard. And here's something I appreciate. It's one thing when school comes to you easy, and often when things come to you easily and you do well, people say that person is going to go great places in life because everything comes to them easily. But you'll find often that character flees from talent, and often talent will come to character, and so that's not always the case. But when you see someone who just, man, you can't stop them. They just work and they work hard and they do what's right. And when they get down, they get back up and go at it again. That's someone that'll make it in life. The kind of people that just keep going. And I got a chance to watch both the struggles of Matthew and Zach, but friend, I was talking about Matthew and watched him struggle through it and push through it, and I'll mention a few of the things he went through when I'm preaching. But it's fun to watch as I invite some folks up here. I look forward to these young men and what their future holds. I'm not, I hope they make it. I'm, man, this is going to be great. unless something unforeseen happens, I can't see any reason why they wouldn't make it and do very well. And so I'm thrilled about this. And so with no further ado, I'm going to bring up Matthew Myers. Matthew?
Well, good evening. Thank you for coming out here. Today, the theme of my speech is hope. And what my first question was, what is hope? So I did a little bit of research, and the main definition I kept coming upon was, it is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. First thing is, there was a little bit of doubt in the beginning that I would be able to graduate a year early and be able to push through it, mostly because I had a year and a half of math left. To my parents, I want to thank you for pushing me and supporting me, even though there were times when I didn't make it easy for you. We had our ups and downs and our crests and troughs, but what kept us pushing for the last base camp for the top of Mount Everest, and that one word is hope. The hope that we'd be able to make it, that we'd be able to keep pushing, and that all the effort would pay off. And one thing is, we didn't just have ordinary hope. We had the hope of God, that God would be supporting us and watching us as we prayed and studied, that we'd be able to get through it together. So again, I say thank you to my parents for being there for me, and I love you so much. To my teachers, thank you for all the work you put in. It really helped that I had someone there when I had questions to ask and that they'd be able to help me. And not only helping me by testing me in my subjects, but also challenging my mind and my spirit to look for things that I could do to help out at the school. And to my amazing pastor, and who without all of the valuable insight in the chapels that I would be to listen to, that I had to listen to and take notes in, I say thank you, and giving me a way to see things differently, not just that I'm here to learn, but that I'm here to help others learn and to teach others as well. To my tutor, Miss Heather, I'm sorry that she's not able to make it due to it being Father's Day, but thank you for helping me finish a year and a half of math in one and letting it be above sea level. And always being there to answer all of my questions for geometry and algebra. And I thank you for helping me see past the negative in all the circumstances and being able to see through to the positive. To the future graduates and the graduates of my class, it is easy to feel hope on a beautiful day such as this one. We are the one that we are experiencing today, but to be truthful, there will be dark days, ones with not so pretty horizons and thunderstorms and quails. But faith and hope plus God and coffee will be able to get us through it all. If there is one thing I ask of you before I leave here, my home, it is that you become the faith and the hope that will spread like a fire, that we'd be able to share the gospel with others and give them the eternal hope of salvation. Because there are those out there that do not have the hope of going to heaven. There are still those that are out there that cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. And when we shut off the lights in our room and we turn on a little flashlight, a little light goes a long way. It can help you by not stubbing your toe on the coffee table at 3 a.m. It can help you to, when you're looking for something in your room to help you with your schoolwork and you're trying not to wake your parents up, it'll help you to see the light and see the work that you are trying to accomplish. And I ask of you that you'd go out and spread the hope to the world and to America, in Vancouver, then to Clark County in Washington. Spread the hope like a fire, that one that cannot be stopped. And I give to the future classes of 21 2021 and 2020, I thank you, and I hope that all of us will continue to go on and see the light.
That was wonderful. I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate, I'll say a little more about it, but both these young men, active in ministry. It's not one-dimensional. They didn't just lock themselves in a room and do work, though the parents had locked them in a room a couple times, I'm sure. But they were serving God and working hard, and I appreciate that so much. And in just a moment, I have Zach Walway come up. He mentioned a little bit about this. I saw his speech. I won't steal anything from him. Here's what the Christian school and homeschool means to me. It's not about making a living. It's about making a life. What kind of person you're going to be. I've met people who didn't have high education who I'd love to model my life after. Incredible people. I've met people with very high education. And I won't go into that. They're rioting right now. But I should have done that at graduation. The amount of information that you put in your head isn't the major thing. The major thing is what you've become as a person. And I've watched that come a long way. I've been very proud of step by step. I've learned something a long time ago. Pastors get credit for a lot of things. Parents get credit for a lot of things. But ultimately, it's the kids. They make their decisions. And if they make good decisions, enjoy it, parents. You know, revel in it because you get a little bit of sunshine. If they make bad decisions, don't take it too seriously. That they get to make their choices. And Zach's made some wonderful choices, come a long way. And I'm thrilled that he gets to come up and join the graduation service. Zach, why don't you come up and give your speech?
Greetings, fellow believers of the faith, family, and friends. I would like to start off by thanking some important people in my life that have helped me through the years. Thanking my parents and family for putting up with my Walway ego and many mistakes for 18 years. Thank you to the pastor for closely discipling me over the past year and helping me grow up. I thank my friends at Skyview for helping me grow closer to God and putting up with me over the past 2 years. And for the Myers, they've been helping me so much through the years, and I wouldn't be who I am now without their help. A famous man once said, "We create our own demons." Who or why he said it, I don't know, but now he's famous because I said it. This statement of creating one's own demons may not be true for everyone, but it's true for me. A few years ago, I was very lost in myself, not because of things that happened to me, but because of people. It's because I created my own problems by looking for them. Therefore, I created my own demons. It took a long time for me to realize that I did that to people, but realizing that I did do it and then doing something about it changed my life and changed who I am as a person and, more importantly, as a Christian. Yes, I learned a lot in school and I will carry it with me my whole life, but I have found in life that it is the moments that make you realize who you are as a person. Those are the ones to remember the most. What made me realize it the most wasn't going to good Christian school, wasn't going to good church. It wasn't 6 years going into jail yet. It wasn't going into a psych ward for many years. It was only for a week. But it was God that helped me realize who I am as a person and where I am at spiritually. So what I've learned through the years is maybe it is necessary to have one's demons so we can grow as Christians. Finally, to you, oh, so many graduates sitting in front of me. But in all seriousness, that I've shared so many fond memories with, I truly hope and pray that we end this chapter in a good way, but start a new chapter serving God with all we got. Good luck, and God bless the class of 2020.
Awesome. We have one more song. Let's keep the energy going. 544. Oh, how I love Jesus. And we'll be singing this song for a second and for the first. Now the beginning. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth.
If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. I'm going to invite you to join as I talk to Matthew and Zach. And Zach, you and Matt. Matthew and Zach. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The preparation of the hardened man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." I'll read it one more time. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll have a quick admonition. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this message and most of all bless the life of Matthew and of Zach and Lord, those who are here. We ask that your Holy Spirit would take charge of this service and speak to us, Lord, through your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I get to see as a pastor some of the things that you don't get to see, some of the things that you don't always know that's happening. There's a lot of things that happen publicly, a lot of stories that you hear about that are fun stories. I get the privilege, and one thing I'm very burdened about recently is I really want to get some of our people's testimonies on video because I'm so enriched with what I get to see. What I know about the people I preach to and the wisdom that I've received from the people I've sat and talked with, of all ages, honestly, that I want to find a way to share that with everybody. And the two young men that are coming today in graduation, there's a lot you may not know. Mom and Dad probably know most of it. Mom and Dad should be the ones walking up here, as generally is the case for the graduates. There's so much that they do. I didn't know there's such thing as a Walway ego. I didn't. I just learned that. Is that you or Shelley? That's what. No, I'm kidding. don't answer that. but when you look at some of the what these young men do, a lot of people don't realize when Zach just came to camp and. Zach, your parents were a little concerned when you went to camp. You were having a rough time in life, and they didn't know for sure you were coming home. And I think they didn't want you. No, I'm kidding. They you came to camp, and Zach said, "You know what? I'm in. I'm going to serve the Lord." Well, a lot of people say that at camp. You know, that's camp. You know, we take you to the woods and brainwash you. You know, we take you to a place, you get away from the things of the world and you just kind of get a chance to reset and you hear the Lord and anybody could hear the Lord. If you could just hear him and see it, I mean, it's just a logical decision. And And but the thing is, after camp, you kind of watch what's going to happen next. And many of you don't know that it wasn't uncommon for Zach to get a handful of tracks and go out on his own and just start handing tracks out to people. Going off to the dog park and catching people in the dog park and going door to door. And he'd say, "Pastor, I'm coming to get some more tracks. So what you up to?" So I'm going soul winning. He'd come back, "I saw one saved." You know, by the way, he'd say, "Pastor, I saw one saved." Nobody else would know. He was just, God was watching. And there came a point where you got to watch him transition from the kid who's going to church with his Christian parents to the young man who has his walk with God and is developing a walk with God. You don't get to see, in the last year, I don't know how many mornings, before the COVID stuff, he started getting up early. He'd get up, him and his dad would pray in the mornings, get up and pray with his dad. And you didn't go back to sleep, did you, when your dad went back to sleep? I'm teasing you. If you're smart, you did. Dad would do it too if he could. But get up, pray with his dad. And they'd pray for God to bless their family and pray for God's provision. You didn't know the times that they've prayed and that they've reached out to people. With Matthew, a lot of people, Matthew, you can get, what's the word I'm looking for, grumpy sometimes. And when you're grumpy, you don't hide it very well. And so once in a while people say, "Well, Matthew was grumpy." Well, what you don't understand is Matthew did 2 years of work, a year and a half's worth of work in 1 year. At the same time, he worked up to two jobs. He made commitments to missions and the Lord, and that's his private thing, but he was working to fund those things. Took time off. One of the good things about the ACE is Accelerated Christian Education is you can move. It can move with your schedule. So he would go on missions trips. He would go on youth conferences. Almost never missed any of them. And by the way, as a church, we got kind of wound up in a few too many. We didn't know how to get out of them. We didn't even go to church anymore. We were at everybody else's church for a while. And the parents are like, "My kids are doing so good." You didn't know that. They were gone. But paid for almost all of them. He earned money for the privilege of doing it. Took his paces with him to the Philippines. Took his paces with him to Spain. Took his paces with him to France. Yes, the Anse in France, they mean the Anse plants. I remember that. I'm French. Put his paces in the car as he'd do trips. He would do extra paces so he'd have the privilege of working extra jobs. And he said, "Well, that's pretty good." Yeah, but he never missed any ministry. If there's something going on, he was here. If he got grumpy with you, it's because he was carrying your stuff from the car into the church, or he was carrying stuff around the church, or cleaning something, or helping somebody, or working with something. You were interacting with him as he did all this. This is in high school, by the way, graduating early, for the privilege of going off to Bible college and start working. And these young men are what's going to happen, young men, as you get into the world and work your secular jobs for a while and put yourself through college and do some things like that, you're going to realize that the character that you're developing it comes from an individual walk with God. The world loves that. They love our product. They just don't like our recipe. They want to produce what we produce, but they want to produce it by all kinds of weird junk that they try to put into the mix. And they're going to be like, "Hey, you could be great. You can do great things." And they'll suggest all kinds of things to you. You could make big money. You could work at all these companies. You could be a whatever and name all the things you can do. And with that kind of work ethic and things like that, the ability to learn independently, the sky's the limit. We read here, the Bible says, in the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. There's an old song, and probably some of you older folks that'll get stuck in your head. This is a little predated for me even, but I hear the thing on the radio, and it's "Sha na 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 na, live for today." And the whole idea behind the song was, you just live for today. You don't have to have tomorrow. Have fun today. Do what you're going to do today. Don't worry about everything else. Tomorrow may not come. If tomorrow comes and you don't make it any farther, then at least you lived for today. And the Bible says that there we go. The There we go. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's going to be temptations to just live for today, live for right now. And your strength has been that you've lived for a future. You spent years living for graduating high school. That's part of what you did, not everything. But you saw a goal and you lived for something that was bigger than you and you pushed toward it. And with the help of your parents when you were down and didn't want to push toward it, yeah, a boot once in a while, maybe a shock collar or something. But you pushed toward it and you lived for a future. And this is a reward. Your high school graduation. Let me give you a couple of really quick things. One, here's how to prepare for your future. One, see the unseen future. See the unseen future. In Ephesians 5:15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You see me give the illustration, especially with the teenagers, I give this often. Circumspectly, there are two words, circle or circumference, sir, and speckly, spectator, spectacles. That seeing things in full circle is a way to explain circumspectly. That seeing things in past, present, future. And what you walking circumspectly is when you say, right now I'm a high school graduate. Okay, what does the future hold? And in the past, can you imagine if you can go back in time and you can tell yourself some things to do and you could be smarter about some things and how many good decisions you could make? Well, you can do that. Walking circumspectly is accounting for your past and saying, well, what am I going to want in the future? And this, imagine this in your heart. Zach, you're going to walk up into the future and you're going to say, Zach, if you could come back and change something, what would you change? And you give yourself some advice. Well, boys, young men, last I checked, you seem to be interested in females. You might marry one of them things. There's a whole herd of them in Bible college. Just grab you a lasso and get you one. It's that, just like that. Just walk in there, got that one. Can't throw them back, though. Yeah, so lasso the right one. And that means when you get married, you're probably going to have one of them things called a wife. When you have one of them things called a wife, you may end up with one of them things called a family. You with me so far? So look into the future and say, okay, Zach, Matthew, you're talking to yourself. You got a wife, a family, you got bills, a house, and you're supposed to have a ministry serving the Lord. You're doing all this for the Lord. How should I prepare for that? Ask yourself that. What should I do to prepare for that? Should I be in Bible college and just playing around the whole time? And by the way, you will play in Bible college. You'll have some fun stories. Most stories for men are fun because they're stupid stories. It's of the stupid things you do. We were wrestling. I was on this guy's back. We tripped and I went through the wall. You know, that's the kind of stories men have. And you'll have your stories and have your stories. But keep in mind, there's a future up there and walk circumspectly. What am I going to want from Bible college? Think about this. It's Bible college. It's ministry. It's serving the Lord. A lot of people are like, what kind of grades am I going to get? I want to get good grades. I know people who cheated in Bible college. Why would you pay money to go to Bible college to cheat to get a degree? Does anybody see how that's kind of weird? But they cheated in Bible college. When I looked in the future, I said, there are some people who are going to need me to know God. When a preacher got up and he preached about praying all night long and walking with God and fasting and reaching people, I realized I've got to do that now. There's going to be some people I'm going to face, and they're going to be at the end, and they're going to say, if you don't have God, I've got nothing left. And I'll have to know how to get a hold of God. By the way, that meant that if I was going to pastor in the future, I should be pastoring the people I'm with. That means when you're in Bible college and you have roommates, you'll find there's a thing called roommates that is you're not expecting. You think you're expecting, but it's a very random thing that happens to you, and you get these random things called roommates, and some of them, a few of them, are sane. Only a few. and you'll be dealing with all this. Now watch this. When you have this troublesome roommate, are you going to pastor them? Or are you going to be a selfish kid who always got their way from home and you're going to fight with them? Go in the future and ask yourself, what's it going to be like when you're 50. And the pastor of the church where your daughters go to college was on the dorm floor with you. What did he think of you? How did you conduct yourself? What kind of person, what kind of family does he think that your children came from? When you're 50, the funny jokes in school, that's not the most important thing about school. It's what you did for God while you were there. He said, you see the future. Next, you adopt the future. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You adopt it as if it's real. People see the future. You ask anybody on the street, hey, let me ask you a question. You going to die someday?
Yeah. Yeah.
And one day they go to the doctor. The doctor says, hey, what? You're going to die.
I'm going to what?
When my wife had cancer, and it was serious, and we didn't know if she was going to make it. And don't worry, she made it, just in case you know how the story ends. But we didn't know. And we were talking, and she likes numbers. She's a numbers lady, and she kept asking for percentages, and the doctors don't, you know, what's the percentage of chance I could die? The percentage, and the doctors won't do that, and keep pressing for it. And eventually, this doctor was really uncomfortable around us, and I looked at the doctor and said, we both know that we're terminal. We were born terminal. We're just trying to figure out what to do between now and then. The doctor's like, and my wife says, yeah. It's not that she's worried about dying. We're just trying to make a plan. We both know that's going to happen eventually. So everybody knows they're going to die. But it's not. They don't adopt that as real. They push it off. They pretend like it's not going to come. It's just, I'll just live right here and now. As long as I don't look at it, maybe it'll go away until it confronts them in their face. Don't be like that. Adopt the future. Look at what's coming. By the way, that's the reason you guys got here. You saw a future and you adopted it and said, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to work. Both of you had to figure out times to work. I mean, you had to work. You had to work to get here. Adopt the future. And the last thing, steal the fear that the future gives you. I'll give you this. The Bible says this, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So let me tell you what will happen. I'm going to send you to Bible college, okay? And you both are signed up for Bible college. Harvest and West Coast, right? Okay, which one's better? No, I'm kidding. No, don't start that. I'm just... so you're both going to go to Bible college, okay? And eventually, there's a point where you're working your way through Bible college. Now, there's a bill that comes due every month. And it comes every month. Is that right, Alex? Every month. Yeah, Alex is saying, yep, that's right. Shaking his head. And so there's two ways you can do this. You can ignore it and hope something happens. Well, something will happen. Okay? And then you get a little letter in the mail, and it'll be uncomfortable to get that little letter in the mail, and then you get a little notice. And when I was in college, I used to announce some names of some people who need to go meet with eventually you have to go meet with the person who does the finances. Now you're walking into the office, and they say, "How are you going to pay that bill?" And you go, your heart starts racing. I'm going to get kicked out of college, and then we'll go back home, and mom and dad are going to torture me. And you start getting panicked. You start panicking. You with me so far? You're going to panic eventually. Comes a point. Everybody panics eventually. I mean, it might be what when your first night under the bridge, and you see Bubba over there, and Bubba says, hey, this is my spot. You're going to panic. You with me? But everyone panics eventually. So here's what you do. It's very simple. Since you're going to panic, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Reach ahead and steal it. Steal that panic. Before the end of the month comes, when the bill's due, on the first of the month, panic. How am I going to pay that bill? How am I going to pay that? And there's going to be someone saying, oh, you dummy, it's not even due for 30 days. I'm going back to sleep. That's Bubba. And you will meet him at Bible college. He will be there. He or she will be in the dorms. And you'll be like, your bill's due. You're 3 months behind.
Yeah, I know. They say I got another day before they kick me out. So I'm just going to sleep.
And they're there. But if you'll panic early before that bill comes, And you'll say, oh man, I don't want to live under a bridge. And like, you're a long ways from the bridge. Good, this is a good time to panic. You know, when you first start driving, and the parents are like, hit the brakes, hit the brakes, hit the brakes. Right? They like you to start hitting the brakes way before you get by that car. They don't want you to go, it worked, you know. And you learn to look ahead, predict what's coming, and panic early. Oh my goodness, I gotta get a job. Oh, I'm gonna work this job. Oh, I gotta work these extra hours. You don't need all those hours. You've got a whole 2 months paid ahead of time. 2 months is only 60 days. 60 days, you bring down the hours. Oh, I gotta get a job. You're crazy. Ah, but here's the beauty. Here's the beauty. If you steal the fear ahead of time, when the bill comes due, you're taking a nap in the dorm room, and they're panicking.
Hey, can you help me? I've been praying.
Well, I prayed and God gave me a job 30 days before this was due. Why couldn't you pray 30 days ago?
Well, I really, really need some help.
And you will for the rest of your life. Or you can steal that panic you're going to have. Panic early. Fear early. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And then when it comes time to pay the bill, you go, oh, that bill's paid. Yeah, I'm getting ready to graduate, but what I'm working on is I'm working on getting a good credit rating so I could buy a house. Why are you going to buy a house? Well, I saw them things out there. What are them things called? Women. I kind of like them. I'm going to get me one of them. They kind of like to live in a house, most of them. Some of them don't mind the bridge, but most of them like the house, you know. So in case I end up with one of them that likes a house, I think I'll get me a house, you know, and probably get me a car. So I can drive her to the house because I don't want to carry her, you know. And you start thinking ahead of time. And if you stay several steps ahead, that's wisdom. And ultimately, you look into the future. This life is but a vapor. It's gone. I've been joking about it. But it really seems like about 2 or 3 years ago I graduated high school. And I just got a notice from AARP. I took a picture of it. I'm like, I'm an old man. And I joke about being an old man, but that's AARP. I mean, that's official. This goes fast. When someone says, I'm getting old, how old are you? Yeah, shut up. You're only 5 years older than me. You know, now watch this. You hear this throughout life, and you'll, trust me, you eventually you'll figure it out. It does go really fast. But eternity. Fruit man foreseeth the evil and hyphens. What am I going to carry into eternity? I'm going to end with this. If you go to Bible college, and on the day of your graduation, you die. What did you do for God? Here's what you have that most high school graduates do not have. The vast majority, you've already done great things for God. You've already sacrificed and prayed and won people to Christ and given your life and served people and served your fellow man, served the other teens around you, been faithful to church, faithful to God. You've already done great things for God. If you died today, you're going to go to heaven with rewards at 18. That's awesome. Don't go to college to prepare for ministry. Go to college to be in ministry. Because you never know when you're going to step into eternity. Minister to everybody you can at college. Do everything you can for God as if you're never going to make it to the end of college. This is all you got. And when you get to the end of college and ministry has become a habit, you'll have a habit of being in ministry as a teenager and ministering as a young adult, and you'll step into ministry and it'll just be natural. It'll be just life. It'll just be part of who you are. The Bible says the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of tongue is from the Lord. Let's think ahead. What's your next step? The most important thing isn't the information you have, it's what you've become. And the most important thing you're going to get isn't the information that you receive, it's what you're going to be. So start becoming that person. In a moment we're going to have a word of prayer. I'm just going to ask God to bless you. And I'm going to let people, if they'd like to, that take a moment and just think about where they're at, preparing for the future for themselves, what that looks like for them. And after we're done praying, it's time to present some awards. All righty? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. The Bible says the preparation in the heart of man is from the Lord. Lord, please give us wisdom as we prepare for the future. Please guide us, Lord, and help us to use your word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help us to listen to your Holy Spirit to guide us each step, because your sheep hear your voice. Help us to be yielded constantly to you so we can receive the knowledge of your word and wisdom. Father, help us to be a people who show a love for you that is so pleasing to you that in our future that we prepared for, we're walking to heaven with great reward. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, now this is the time you guys have been waiting for. It's time to get the diploma that you've worked so hard for. And I want to say this, that I'm honored to be able to hand this to you. I wish every single person who invested in this diploma with you was up on stage with you and taking a picture with you. Honestly, they are on stage with you in their hearts. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but you guys were speaking. Your parents are like, "We did it." Either that or they're leaving. One of the two. But no, your parents are proud. And that's so awesome. So first person I'm going to ask to come up is Matthew Ray Myers. Here you go, Matthew. There we go. Got some pictures. There we go. Charge him a modeling fee. Go ahead and step up there, man. Move your tassel. There we are. Hey, let's give Matthew a hand. Next, Zachariah Michael Walway. Congratulations, buddy. There we go. Step right up there. Want to move the tassel? Give a big hand. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you the graduating class of 2020. Let's give them a hand. The title of that song is "Be a Man." Yeah, "Be a Man." And you did miss out in practice. They didn't tape that, so they dropped all the books. And so, we'll make a man out of you. That's what it is. We'll make a man out of you. That's awesome. We have some refreshments today downstairs. And then what I think I've got this right, so correct me if I'm wrong. What we're going to do is head downstairs and have a seat if you'd like to stay for the refreshments. And you'll be served at the table. So they'll bring refreshments to you. And we're trying to do this all CDC approved and all that kind of stuff. So in a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer. And then we'll dismiss. I'm going to do this. Mr. Elisha White is one of our supervisors in the school. And he's committed his life to this. He's committed his life to the students, and he gives it everything he's got. The biggest problem we've had with him is we say, "Elisha, go home." He stays, he works, he volunteers, he just keeps investing in them. He goes to their homes, he picks them up, he gives them incentive, he plays games with them, he teaches them, counsels them, he prays with them. He's had several prayer meetings in the mornings with them. He loves them. And I tell you, as time has come on, he's really evolved at wonderful at teaching. But that you can teach someone to be a teacher. You can't teach someone to love the way that he loves. And I appreciate him so much. I'm going to ask Mr. White if he'll come up and lead us in a word of prayer. And then when he's done, we'll be dismissed. Also, would you pray for the food when you pray? Well, come on up here. Let's give Mr. White a big hand.
Well, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing us together to be able to enjoy
the accomplishments of these two students. God, I pray that as they continue on in their life, they'll learn to have a good, close relationship with you, and that will do them great. God, I pray that you bless this meal and the fellowship that comes with it, and that you keep us safe in health. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.